So this morning, the title of my sermon is Born Supremacy. Now, who of you watched the Born series?
Yeah.
Okay, it's probably one of my favorites. No, it's the favorites. I love the Born series. But this is not that Born. This is Born like in birth. Right, so I play on words there. But who of you have noticed that life is full of choices? In fact, we're probably all facing the most choices we have had to make all this year. Because suddenly you have to decide, is it a big gift, if it's a small gift? Is it the red one, is it the blue one? You know, what are we going to, are they going to like it, or are they not going to like it? Is it the roast, is it the gammon, or what is it? You know, what are we preparing? And is this all these decisions that we are facing? None of you. Okay. No. I see. You've got this all planned out. You did your spreadsheet in January and everything is falling into place according to your plan. But life is full of choices. You know, if you go to the shop for your grocery shopping, you know, generally I've been doing this with my wife for years, and you kind of get to know Checkers or wherever you shop. You know, so you walk in and you're almost on autopilot. Because you know where the beans are and when this is and so on. And then you get there and your brand's not there. Now, suddenly, Houston, we have a problem. I mean, it's like everything falls apart because your brand's not there. Now you have to decide. Which brand now? Nah? And this becomes a dilemma. Which brand am I going to choose that is going to be similar to the one that I've been buying? Is that it? If it's not there, you're not getting it. That's tough. So, sorry, Stephen, your favorite baked beans, you're not getting that. Sold out, champ. Okay, so. The sad thing, though, is, and unfortunately, a lot of people approach religion like that. You know, like there's a lot of choices. Some people even engage their faith like that, you know, that it's all good while it's good. But when something changes, you know, now the decision has to be made and they kind of fall apart because now it's not how it should be anymore. But we all face many, I mean, if you look at this time in the world, we are facing many choices. When it comes to religion even, there are many choices that you can make. And as we grow in the tech era, in the information era, where there's so much information, you think you believe something and then a different opinion comes along and you go like, but what now? What am I believing now? Is this right or is that right? You know, so we face with a lot of choices, a lot of different gods that we can actually choose from if you actually just look at the world. So we have many choices. But which one is the best one? Which one is the best one? Now, in 7 days, 7 days we are celebrating Christmas. Next week, this time, you would have opened your gifts, I imagine, and stuff would have happened. But it's 7 days. How many days till the year ends? 14 days. You see, in 7 days, we see people considering this day just another day. They look at it, the option is that, you know, it is just another day. Some people even look at it and it's more about the gifts. The birth of Jesus Christ is an untruth. It's not relevant. It's not something they have to even consider at this time. But Jesus is not just another choice. You see, when we look at the world, we see that in the sea of choices and options, Jesus just becomes another option. The people will look at it, look at him, and say, "Is he worthy of my attention? Is he worthy of my affection?" And a lot of people turn around and say, no, he is not. I want to read to us Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 4. So if you want to get your phones out and your Bibles and all that, and maybe just go through there to Hebrews, meet me in chapter 1, verse 1. And then we're going to just look at this quickly, because this is such a powerful, powerful verse or portion of Scripture. So I'm going to read. It says, long ago, at many times, I'm reading from the ESV, and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. So he makes a statement here that at many times. So there's a lots of times that God spoke to his people in many ways. And I love that. You know, God is not just a one-dimensional God that he does something in one way, but he's able to speak to us in many ways. In other words, he will encounter me in a way that is relevant to me wherever I am. He's going to speak to me. If he wants to grab my attention, he will speak to me. And you know, sometimes I think we want to limit God in the way that he speaks to me. Our religious little box, and we choose an option. Yeah. Lord, you need to speak to me in this way. And the fact of the matter is, God speaks to us in many ways. But especially at that time to them by the prophets. In verse 2. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. There's a lot just in there. After making purification for our sins, it says he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high, having become as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. So Hebrews here describes, the writer just here describes the majesty of the one whom we celebrate being born one of these days. Now we know it's not on this date. Okay, so we're making a moment, we're taking a time to think of this. And you know, nowhere in Scripture does Jesus even command us to celebrate his birth. But we are thinking about that. What is the impact of the Son of God being born into this world? Now, I want you to consider this. If you look at that portion of Scripture, when it speaks about the Son of God and this word that is coming to us by the Son of God, because he says at this time he speaks to us by the Son. Now, he says a few things which I want you to consider and maybe just ponder on. Maybe take away from here and think about that. He says, firstly, he is appointed heir of all things. All things will be his at the end. He's the heir of all things. Everything is going to be his. You know, just like when a young man's father dies and his father is extremely rich and had many companies and stuff, it automatically transfers to him when that will is in place. Suddenly, in a moment, he's the heir of everything. And in the same way, when all this ends, everything is his. Wow. It's nothing that's not going to be his. He's the heir of all things. Secondly, he created the world. The world was created through him. So everything that we are enjoying, the Son that is being born in a few days that we are celebrating, is the one through whom everything was created. Your existence, my existence, the world's existence came through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Thirdly, he is the radiance of the glory of God. He's the one that brings the glory of God down to us, that shows us the glory of God in a world that is fallen. He came to show us how to walk, to live in this world. He set the example, living a sinless life for us to follow, to walk in. You know, we can so easily say, you know, my sin, you know, it withholds me from doing stuff and so on. The reality is he showed us a way in which to walk, to be sinless right here, right now. In actual fact, there's quite a few scriptures in the Bible that encourages us to be holy as God is holy, to live lives that are set apart, that does not look like this world. The fourth one is the exact imprint of His nature. We see the very nature of God by the Son that was born. The very nature of God, the very nature of God, the God who loved us so much, whose love is uncomprehendable, whose love is passionate towards us, whose love is never ending. He just wants to love on us the whole time. If He did not, why would He send His Son? Why would He send Jesus if He didn't love you and me? But no, it's the exact imprint of His nature. Jesus showed us the nature of God. And then the last one, He upholds the universe by the word of His power. Wow. Now that blows my mind. That the Son who was born is the one who upholds everything by the word of His power. Have you noticed that to speak a word is a lot less effort than to do something? No. I replaced my pool sand yesterday, and if you've ever done a pool sand filter, it's just a little bit of effort, you know. Last night, Loretta had to do CPR and give me pills and stuff, you know, and I'm, you know, the physio is on standby because, you know, Quivis has reconditioned the pool pump and replaced stuff and so on. But it's hard work. But just to speak a word, you know, if I had a contract and I could say, fix it, that's a lot less effort. And here we see Jesus upholding everything just by the word of His power. Wow. He's that mighty. He's that powerful. So there's nothing that you and I face. Man, come on, think of this. If He upholds everything by the word of His power, if everything exists and takes place just by Him speaking stuff, what is your life and the stuff that you face? But nothing. So we are not just celebrating the birth of any man. John 1, you know John 1. Verse 1 to 5 says this: In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, if we think about Christmas, if we think about what we are celebrating in a couple of days, in 7 days' time, do we celebrate the one who is God? Who is, how does it say? He was the Word, and the Word was with God, and everything that was made was made through Him. So please don't let the world water down what we are celebrating in a couple of days. Please don't let your traditions and your family affairs water down what is happening and what we are thinking about and remembering in a couple of days down. See, the birth of Jesus Christ, the John 3:16 is the start of God putting His plan of redemption in motion. We are thinking about, we are celebrating, we are looking at, on the 25th of December, we are thinking about the start of the redemption plan. When the angels appeared to the shepherds proclaiming the birth of the Son of God, that's where everything started. Where God's plan to reconcile you and me started right there in that moment. That little baby in that manger was the start of God reconciling with us. The process of saving you and me. The love of the Father being displayed in an incredible way by sending His only Son to this world. Not just the birth of another man, the birth of the Son of God. It was God reaching out into history. I almost want to say getting His hands dirty reaching into this history, sending his son for one purpose, to draw you and me back to him, to save the world. Every man that is walking this earth right now, his purpose was to save them. You see, Jesus is not just another option. He's the only option.
Amen.
Acts 4 verse 12 says this, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Jesus is not just another option. He's the only option. I guess the question for you and me this morning is, do we really believe that still? With all the information, with all the options, with everything that is coming our way, is that how we carry ourselves? Is that what Christmas is going to look like for you and me? Now, I just want to take a quick look at what the Hebrew writer is actually, you know, when he wrote Hebrews, his focus, or he wanted to communicate to his people the supremacy of Jesus Christ. Now, if we look at chapters 1 and 2, he makes the point and then eventually shows that Jesus is more superior than the angels. He's far above them. Chapter 3, Jesus was more superior than Moses. Now, I must say to you that in that culture at that time, to say that Jesus Christ is more superior than Moses was a very brave thing to write. This was death. Because to the Hebrews, Moses was quite the man. And now he's saying that Jesus is far more superior than Moses. Chapters 4 to 7 shows that Jesus is superior to the sacrificial system of the Old Testament. That he's saying, listen, we used to do this, but we don't have to do that anymore. That was countercultural. That was so counter their religion at that stage. That is why they were hated. Chapter 8 circles back and shows that Jesus' blood shed on the cross is superior than the blood of goats and rams. So he makes the point that Jesus is more superior. Chapter 9 and 10 speak of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for you and me. And chapters 11 to 13 deals with a few other things. One is our faith. That without faith is impossible to please God. That he defines faith for us, and he looks at a few other things. But in the whole of Hebrews, he makes the point that Jesus Christ is better. I know you believe this, but Jesus is better. I know you used to this, but Jesus is better. That's the point Hebrews is making here. He's saying that Jesus Christ is superior. The supremacy of Jesus Christ. Yeah. You know, and there's so many things in this world that will challenge that thinking, that thought in your and my hearts. But is Jesus really superior? Is he above all else? The devil will come into your life and challenge that thing to get your faith to waver. He will even water it down with traditions and things that we do so that Jesus will just become like anything and anyone else. But we are celebrating the birth of the Son of the living God.
Amen.
Not just another man. So as we approach the 25th of December, as you sit around your tables with your families and your friends, as you open your gifts, maybe we should change the focus. You know, one thing we did with our boys, and this is just maybe a way of a testimony, is that what we did is, as Christians, we didn't just want to remove Christmas from the equation, but we thought we want to redeem it. So one of the things we used to do is that we didn't do the tree with the gifts under the tree and so on. And I'm not saying you should do this. This is what our testimony. But the power that we saw, when the things were there, the gifts were there on a heap. But when it came to that moment, we had to take our gifts to the person that it was meant for. Give it to them and pray for them and bless them. And it took away that Just the desire to receive. And it reflected more the fact that God came to give. And we saw the beauty. For my parents, that was awkward. The day I said to my dad, no, Cass Father is not featuring this year, was a day. I was in trouble. But what we saw in just bringing it back to the heart of God in our household, we saw the change. We saw the change in our own spirits, in our own way that we look at this day that we are celebrating. So I want you to, this December, consider taking a moment to remember the greatest gift that we've ever received. I want you to try and not let it get or let it disappear in the light of everything else that is happening in and around your family in this house. Looking at the gift of the birth of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. The fact that God loved us so much that He poured out His Son's life to a lost world. That His redemption plan started on that day. The intense desire of a loving God to save the world. Let that fuel how we enter into this time. I want you to consider to remember and share the supremacy of the birth of the Son of God over at this time, around your tables and at your gatherings. Tell one another and tell your children of what Jesus Christ has done. Tell them that Jesus is the one appointed heir of all things. Tell them that Jesus is the creator of the world. Tell them that He is the radiance of the glory of God. Tell them that He is the exact imprint of His nature. Tell them that He's the one that upholds the universe by the word of His mouth. That is not the governments or anyone else. It is Jesus Christ. See, we are celebrating Jesus, born supremely, the only way to the loving Father. That is what we celebrate.